I often hear you speak about vulnerability and finding our authentic frequency. I'm curious if there was a defining moment in your life that led you to really tap into you and connect with your inner being and become more mindful.
Well, I think there's two different periods. One was personally, not the public figure. And so personally, it occurred 2 years before I lost everything. I had gone bankrupt, lost over $100 million. 2 years before that, my wife and my mom, my dad, and my best friend were the only people around me when I was running the most notable sports agency in the world to tell me the truth. And when my wife, as I came home at 5:30 one morning after lying to her in a total mess state, told me she was leaving me and told me to take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become.
Yeah.
And allowed me to create behaviors and practice and progress utilizing who I was and what I wanted to become. Mm-hmm. And so that moment was a catalyst for me of realigning and prioritizing my purpose, because I'd been in love with my wife since the fourth grade. She was my dream girl. And when that came to be, and my perspective was, are you kidding me? Like, I had no idea. How could you be unhappy? You know, we live in Rancho Santa Fe. We have 33 homes in San Diego, golf courses. How could this be? And then publicly, it's different. So, you know, I started that journey 18 years ago personally, to be honest with myself. And that caused me to be more honest with other people. But that's a whole different ballgame than the vulnerability and the essence and frequency when you do thousands of interviews and thousands of videos and thousands of stages and thousands of books and all of the things that are out there. When I started this journey, it was with Gary Vaynerchuk, and I was helping him with his sports agency. And he encouraged me to change my radio show into a podcast and to start posting on Instagram and building a social media presence.
Yeah.
And I was very challenged by just one thing, which was, Gary, I'm not sure I could tell people I was bankrupt. And he said, Dave, people are going to love you for who you are.
Wow.
And people are going to hate you for who you are. And most of the people, one, are not going to know who you are or care who you are.
Yes.
So if you are okay with some of the people loving who you are, some of the people hating who you are, and most of the people not knowing or caring who you are, then you're better off showing people who you are truthfully.
Yeah.
And when I started building my brand socially, especially publicly, and I realized the feedback I was getting by telling people about initially my bankruptcy and the lessons learned, and then more about my personal life, and the mistakes that I made and the people that I surrounded myself with and the actions I took, and then getting even further. I remember being on an interview with Sugar Ray Leonard, who I'd known for years. And he was on an interview with Todd Bridges and told the very first time anyone that he was molested as a child.
Wow.
And I don't know what happened to me in that interview. I admitted to everyone that when I was nine, the same thing happened to me.
Oh,
and it was a cry fest. And it became one of the most downloaded podcasts that I've ever done. It was on Apple TV. And I couldn't believe I was okay with it.
Yeah.
And now I'd be surprised if you can find the genetic and energetic inheritance of hiding things or over-exaggerating to make me look good.
Yeah.
And in fact, I found the biggest gap for my children and their friends is the gap between who they are and who they want people to think they are.
Yeah.
And it's a big mistake and a big gap that I try to close that distance for people when they're building personally and publicly their own truth.
We know, we both know, because we've done research on this, and that authenticity is the highest vibration. And when you can be vulnerable and share who you really are and what you've been through, that is not only freeing, but it is what others will be drawn and able to connect to.
So I have a saying, the truth vibrates the fastest. And you can only be aware of that which vibrates equal to or less than you. And so as we pursue the truth, pursue our potential, noting, by the way, that it's not happiness that causes dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins to be released, the biochemical doggy biscuit to reward you for good behavior. It's actually the pursuit of happiness that creates the dose of biochemical happiness in human nature.
So how about for our listeners who are on this pursuit of, okay, I'm going to be happy when I reach this point, or I'm going to be happy once I'm able to get this girl to go on a date for me with me. I'm going to be happy when I get to this end result. What are your advice for these individuals who think that happiness arrives at a certain destination?
That's one of the most commonly asked questions that people attach their emotions to outcomes. And I became a student not only of time, but of faith and of wisdom in order to help people understand that the ability to enjoy what they don't like and don't love, the ability to enjoy what other people don't like or love, the ability to understand behaviors in alignment with a trajectory or divine direction is the cheat code to life. You see, if you learn to love what you don't like or don't love, or other people don't like or don't love, and you do that consistently every day, persistently without quit, in the divine direction that you want to be in or better, and align the meaning of the past and your self-image as well, life will tell you all its secrets. It'll be easy, not dis-easy. And so when we can teach people that there's a difference between trajectory, divine direction, and outcomes. You see, wisdom will tell you, here's what you need to do in order to get to where you want to be or better. Therefore, we should attach our inspiration and our emotions to what we think we want. Instead, it's actually faith that says we should enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of our potential. And when evidence is not there to tell us we're going to get to where we want to be, when evidence is contrary to where we want to be or better, that we need to have faith that we're going to get somewhere bigger or better. In other words, the detours of no evidence or evidence that's contrary to where we want to be, detours are divine as well as the direction. And that becomes the reconciliation between the human experience, which is dictated by time to clock, 24 hours, and the divine time that is dictated from the mind to the brain. And so when we can utilize a combination, a harmony of time to clock and mind to brain in order to facilitate pursuit and progress that's dictated by behaviors, regardless of the circumstances, as well as the prioritization according to circumstances, it's an amazing reconciliation of peace, ease, and harmony that creates abundance in that mission. And then the commissions will follow as well.
Mm-hmm. Three things stuck with me in living by intention, with intention, and this persistence and consistency. How can our listeners live, and I know you talk a lot about this, living a life by intention as opposed to by default? What are some things they should be looking for in their day-to-day to ensure they're living with intention?
Well, I think the easiest thing to do is to create non-negotiable behaviors and assign time, minimum time to it. So a non-negotiable behavior says, no matter what the circumstances of today, I'm going to spend a minimum of 7 hours sleeping. No matter what the circumstances of the day, the weathers, the fires, the delayed flights, whatever the interest rates, whatever you're going to blame the day, no matter what these circumstances are, I'm going to spend a minimum of an hour a day on my health, a minimum amount of time with my family, a minimum amount of time with the relative people, a minimum amount of time studying time, faith, whatever is important to you, finance. And so the easiest and fastest way is to create non-negotiable behaviors, assign a minimum amount of time that is also acknowledging that human experience has only one certainty that's outside of you. All certainties of human experience actually lies inside of you except for one, and that's time. You're guaranteed 24 hours a day, and it's a certainty. Every day of your life, except for the last day, you'll be cheated seconds, minutes, or hours. But understanding that every human is on the same time. So if I asked you to meet me in La Jolla at the Cove at 1 p.m. Pacific time, and you are a person who's on time like me, we'll be in the same place at the same time. And if I told you, hey, let's meet in La Jolla at when we're both hungry, we'll never find each other. And so time is the only certainty. And most people don't realize that 90% of those outcomes that you desire or better stem from non-negotiable consistent behavior that you assign a minimum amount of human experience or time to. It's the other. So for me, I have about, with sleep, about 10 hours of non-negotiable behavior. Yeah. That leaves 14 hours of awake time of variant behavior that is circumstantial, that needs to be prioritized, is much more fun and aligned with human nature than the boring, dreaded, consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential. But only 10% of my success comes from all that time. But without that time, the human experience and human nature would not be able to be as disciplined and consistent in the non-negotiable behavior that I am and other people are in this journey of success. And I'm happy to send the exercises and guides that teach people how to do this. That's why I put my email over here, david@dmeltzer.com.
To focus on how we're spending our time, to set up these systems and routines and non-negotiables, we have all that going for us. How do we then tune into our energetic frequency and start to raise that frequency?
Great question. So first, we have to understand the three levels of understanding of intelligence. So you have normal human intelligence, wisdom, then you have intuition, and then you have inspiration. And so understanding that intelligence is a man-made construct, we get that from truly mentorship. And there's many different platforms that provide mentorship today, but mentorship comes for me in three forms. Finding one that sits in a situation you want to be in, ask them for directions. Find someone that can teach you how to best utilize those directions. And then find someone also that brings the best out of you so that you can be productive, accessible, and gracious in that pursuit. And so understanding intelligence, but intuition is the one that gets us. Because as you elevate your awareness, you then can make decisions easier. Because, for example, the way I got suckered into meditation was theta meditation elevates your awareness of your cells, your mind, your body, and your soul. And I'm like, I'm not interested. I don't got time to do that. And then the lady said to me, hey, what if I could raise your awareness when to buy or sell?
Yes.
That became an ROI that I couldn't miss. That seemed, even a dummy like me could get super rich if I knew when to buy or sell. And understanding, though, intuition fools people because it itself elevates your awareness. Mm-hmm. It's a frequency, but it doesn't give you the time. So it works on divine time, infinite time. And the best example is the idiots that lose money at the craps table. I've been there. I get an intuitive thought, hard eight, and I just assume that my intuition is on man-made time, not infinite time. So the next roll, I bet hard eight, and I'm so surprised that it's not hard eight, but six or seven rolls later, the hard eight comes up because my intuition is just elevating my awareness, like pay attention to this, and then use your man-made intelligence to figure out when to implement this, or when you start seeing patterns, you may make the choice to use your intuition. And then, of course, inspiration is the fuel. Mm-hmm. Inspiration gets you there. Motivation gets you up, gets you started, gets you back up, gets you back started, which is really important. But fear can motivate you. Fear will never inspire you. It'll interfere with the inspiration. But you still need to utilize fear, because if you don't get up, you don't get back up, you'll never get there.
Right. Amazing. Another one for me, and I know you're big on this too, has been gratitude for raising our frequency. And I hear you talk about these two words that can change our life. Can you share those two words with the audience?
Yeah, well, today's Thankful Thursday. And I can't tell you, I study a lot. It's one of my non-negotiables. I do research on time, physics, quantum physics, very complex academia. And I think, you know, when I step on stages that everyone's compelled and inspired by all these facts. But let me just tell you the truth. Out of the millions of people that somehow have put me into their awareness, the most common thing that they tell me that has changed their life is I taught them to say thank you, or reminded them to say thank you before they went to bed and when they woke up. And I think furthermore, the biggest lesson of gratitude is the simple things to do, because thank you takes about 0.1 seconds. And it's free. no charge. Everybody agrees it impacts your life to the positive. People vary in their degree that they think it impacts their life, but I've never met one person that said, dude, you say thank you, you're screwed. That's going to F up your entire life by saying thank you to someone. I've never heard anyone say that, but here's the funny thing. The simple things to do and saying thank you is the simplest thing with the most impact are simple not to do. And there lies why we can't be and enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of our potential. When you take the simplest, most impactful thing in our lives, saying thank you, and we just somehow, including me, don't do it all the time. And so I teach people to say thank you at least before they go to bed or when they wake up. And as much as I enjoy learning physics, quantum physics and metaphysics and neuroscience and plasticity and all the incredibly advanced things that I know, I got to remind myself to remind others to be thankful.
Make a routine of it before you go to sleep and right when you wake up. Thank you. Thank you for this day. We're not granted a new day of life. So to start your day with gratitude is amazing. So what do you see, David, as the biggest thing hindering people from achieving their fullest potential?
Two things. One is the meaning that they give their past. People don't take time to understand that we give meaning to everything that we see. And if we limit ourselves by a meaning that's not aligned with where we want to be or better, we'll never get there. The second thing is we limit our self-image or our imagination. You'll never overachieve your own self-image. And within the context of the meaning of the past, which we limit ourselves with, and our own self-image is the infinite loop of giving. And so in order to expand the meaning as well as the image that we have of ourselves, I think it's important to know that we, of course, need to give more, but we need to elevate our awareness through gratitude and forgiveness of all that we're given. Part of the meaning of the past allows us to not be punished. So when there's no evidence or evidence contrary to where I want to be or better, I think I'm given something to protect, promote, love, and perfect me, not punish me. And so I give more and I'm given more. Then even furthermore, with the meaning of the past and the limitation of my self-image, people don't receive. And the funny thing is the people who feel the best giving, they're the worst receivers. And so they're actually utilizing counterintuitive intelligence, because if they love to give and it makes them feel so good, why deny someone else the pleasure?
Yes.
But they do it. And then here's the kicker of faith and wisdom is the fourth infinite item of the future of expanding the limitation of our meaning and our self-image is asking for more. Nothing illustrates faith that there's more than enough of everything. Nothing illustrates the meaning that you've given your past and your self-image more than asking for more. So most people, they give and then they receive less. If that's your math, eventually you're going to be at zero. It's a zero-sum game. I guarantee it. You cannot keep giving more than you receive and end up with anything. So what I teach people in the context of limitation of meaning and self-image is to give more, be given more through gratitude and forgiveness, receive more in faith and worthiness, and then ask for more than more. So now you can give more than more, be given more than more, receive more than more, ask for more than more than more. You know where I'm going to end up? When I'm 80, which isn't that far away, I'm going to end up in a world of more than enough of everything for everyone instead of a zero-sum game like some of the nicest, kindest, most generous people that are in their 80s today.
Yeah. So much of this is believing we're worthy of more, having the confidence to ask for more, believing that we will get it, and having faith that it is possible. And I've heard you talk about canceling our negative thoughts, because a lot of this is in our mind that's preventing us from achieving more, from aligning with more, from raising our energy. It's the way we're thinking about ourselves and what's possible. How do we cancel those negative thoughts?
Well, in my book, which also I'll send everybody in your community, so I'll sign it, send it to them, pay for shipping and my book, I talk about canceling, clearing, and connecting. And so at the conscious level, we do say, think, feel, and believe certain things at the conscious level. And if they're not aligned with our divine direction of where we think we want to be or better, you can just shout out loud, cancel, or say it inside your head. But we do not want that information to go into our subconscious and reinforce itself into the neural pathways, so that unfortunately the subconscious will hold 40,000 of these ways to do, say, think, feel, and believe. And 80% or more of them are negative and they're repetitive. And so now you're creating a system of interference instead of a system of ease. And so what I do is, one, cancel all negative input, people, places, things, ideas, events, situations. Then when I have my subconscious, it won't let go of something. Usually before I go to bed or when I wake up, now I want to clear that from my subconscious. So I articulate clear. And then if it still persists, I know that it's part of my genetic and energetic inheritance. It's part of my quantum being. It's coded into my DNA, and I'm activating it with the epigenetic layer that exists there from the messaging of the consciousness and the subconsciousness. And so now I have to do energy work that may take lifetimes, by the way, in order to shift the genetic and energetic coding that has occurred. And this is why people that, let's say you have alcoholism, that's an unconscious competency. It's a genetic and an energetic inheritance. Some people can quit drinking for 25 days and it becomes their habit, no drinking. But some people have it quantum in their nature. That's why the 12 steps and other programs are there to make sure that we are slowly but surely connecting to what inspires us and shortening the distance of interference or in the distance of resistance from us and God, or us and the almighty, omniscient, all-powerful, infinite, unified, abundant system of intuition and intention that my friend Napoleon Hill, which I'm now the chairman of this, to help people pay attention to and give intention to the coincidences, the coinciding of the universe, the ideas, the consequences, results, and outcomes that you want or better.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. David, as we begin to wrap up, is there anything you'd like to leave our audience with today?
Kindness. I would love, you know, please reach out to me. I will give you my guides, my exercises, my books. We have an incredible private networking group to help one another, know people who help one another. But you got to reach out to me. I know you'll put it in the notes, david@dmeltzer.com. But I would like to leave you with a remembrance, a reminder, and a recollection to your higher source. Be kind to your future self, and do good deeds. God bless you all.
Love it. Thank you so much for coming on today and for all the work that you do to help us all elevate our potential and achieve greatness.
Thank you, Lauren.